Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
This week we cover Tammy and the T-Rex.
Everything in Tammy's life is just great. But when you're young and in love, life can get very complicated. Especially when it involves an insanely jealous creep.
That's my lady, all right? Don't tell me I do!
Late night phone calls.
I want you to come over.
Yes!
Sneaking around in your own house.
Did you lock the door?
Don't worry.
Your boyfriend getting dumped in a wild animal park. And a crazy doctor.
Well, that's it.
Who turns out to be a mad scientist.
And if you're going to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs, right?
With an insane invention that only needs a brain. But this Tyrannosaurus Rex just wants to be a party animal. Even when you tell the truth, nobody believes it anymore.
It was a dinosaur.
What?
It's more than a machine with a brain. I mean, it is a machine with feelings. We are on the brink of something special. We are going to be immortalized.
Is that really you in there? Oh, Michael, what have they done to you?
You poor thing, you gone crazy.
Byron, I am not going crazy. This is just a little hard to explain.
That's my dinosaur!
We found the dinosaur, Sheriff. It's in a truck being driven by your son.
Byron?
Yes, sir. See a couple of folks back in the hospital. They say he stole it.
Stole what?
The dinosaur.
Oh, Jesus.
That is my dinosaur that you are threatening. I made him and he is mine.
What are we going to do?
I will give you... immortality!
Not if Tammy has anything to say about it. Tammy and the T-Rex.
So, not so much horror. There are some horror-esque elements to this film. But we wanted something a little lighthearted.
Horrible.
Wow. We wanted to do something a little lighthearted. In the midst of everything that's going on, by the time this airs, will we still be in quarantine? Will we still be going through it? Who knows?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, we will.
It's a possibility. Is there a life outside of the quarantine life? I don't know. I love it, to be honest. But anywho, Tammy and the T-Rex.
What the fuck? Yeah, I don't know who... Well, first of all, let's just preface this by saying the director of this, the writer and the director, is also the guy who directed, we'll start off slow here, The Philadelphia Experiment. What a terrible movie about the infamous Philadelphia Experiment. And then Ice Pirates. You know, the one with space herpes. And Ron Perlman. It's a movie Ron Perlman couldn't even save. Usually Ron Perlman can come in and make even the most... boring, terrible movie out there. You're like, well, Ron Perlman was good in it. No, not Nice Pirates. And lastly, he directed Mac and Me. The only movie produced by McDonald's.
And the only movie that Paul Rudd shows every time he brings his trailer.
I love that. Every time he shows up on Conan, I'll show a clip from the movie. It's not that thing from Mac and Me, right? No, it's totally not. And it's always the thing from Mac and Me.
It's always Mac and Me, which I don't know what this... It's just fucking crazy.
He's done it since the very beginning, like when he first went on years ago, like after Clueless. And no one even knew who he was. And they were just like, oh, okay, that was weird that you showed that instead of a clip from your movie. But okay, whatever.
I wonder if he gets in trouble for that.
Supposedly he did when they went for the promo Ant-Man or one of them, and he didn't show the Ant-Man trailer. He showed the clip from Mac and Me, and they were like, what the fuck, bro?
Everyone should see Mac and Me, and everyone should see Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah, or is it Tanny? Because they list her in the credits at the beginning and at the end as Tanny.
Tanny. Whoever wrote the fucking credits fucked up.
He had one job, guy.
He failed.
You had to just put the same letter twice. You couldn't figure... No. Have you ever known anyone named Tanny? No.
It's a movie about a T-Rex. They were going to fuck it up.
Is it about a T-Rex or is it about high school bullying?
You know what? That shit is fucking deep right there. That was about high school bullying. That's exactly what this movie's about. They should just show this to all the schools.
Because, you know...
I'm sure it'd do well with the male population.
Yeah. There's a lot... Well, let's just talk about the cast. We talked about the director and his excellent pedigree. So let's talk about the cast here. We got Terry Kaiser. You know him. Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. He's the guy who played a corpse throughout two movies and got paid full salary. So is the man a genius? Yes. Is he a good actor? No.
You have John Franklin, who I noticed immediately. I was like, that's the fucking guy from Children of the Corn. He's Isaac, who I always want to name Malachi, because Isaac to me is not a malicious name. Malachi, on the other hand, is a, like...
That just sounds like somebody that runs a fucking Children of the Corn cult.
Who, I did not know this, neither did Shad, is also Cousin It from the original Addams Family movies.
Yeah, I guess, okay, sure.
He's a T-Rex operator in the film. And, like, assistant to the doctor, I don't know, there's a lot of things going on. Then you have Mr. Paul Walker.
Yes.
Y'all know who he is. He's neither fast nor furious in this film. Let me take that back. He's actually furious with very short hands.
But he's not very fast.
Arms. No, he's not very fast.
You've also got some other people in this you might recognize, like Sean Whalen. You won't recognize that name, but if you've watched anything in the last 30 years, he's been in it. He was the character of Roach in The People Under the Stairs. He's had a lot of, like, he's a very creepy-looking dude, so he's had a lot of creepy dude parts over the years.
A pizza gets delivered in one part of the movie, and, again, I'm like, see, like, 5 seconds of this guy, and I'm like, that's Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Efren Ramirez is also in the movie, which Shad was like, wait a second, how this movie came out?
In 1994... Like, Napoleon Dynamite is, like, 10 years later. He still looks like he's, like, 19.
He's, like, 30 in real life, probably, when he was playing Napoleon, Pedro. And then the most recognizable person, I think, especially for this time frame, because you have all these other character actors. This person, I'm probably sure all the other people are still working. But you have Denise Richards, who opens the film with a dance to a song about
a dinosaur.
It is the worst opening to a film ever because it's also the best opening to a film.
It's like the best worst opening. Well, the plot's pretty simple. Paul Walker really, really wants to bang Denise Richards, but she has a crazy boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, we're not really sure, who tries to murder anyone that tries to get with her. But that doesn't stop Paul Walker because this is Denise Richards in the 90s. People were killing each other to get to that. And so she calls him up. I love the scene where she's like, first off, he gets beat up at school by the bully. They have, what is it they call it? The testicular standoff.
Testicular standoff. And one of the quotes is, let go of his gonads.
Yeah, so the boyfriend and Paul Walker, they get into a fight, and then they each grab each other's balls and just keep squeezing. Now, let me tell you, this went on for a long time. And I'm like, were they trying to put in some, like, subtext here and be like, hey, these guys like to handle each other's dick?
Well, funny enough, Paul Walker was wearing a cup, so yeah. He was pretending to get his dick squeezed,
but he really wasn't.
But he You'd was think
the guy would have recognized that, you know, I don't have what feels like a dick in my hand, and just moved on.
Maybe he didn't know what a dick felt like because his dick was so small.
Could be.
But I mean, I guess he had to be right to be a bully.
But I love how later on that night, Denise Richards calls Paul Walker to come over. He throws on his 80s brown leather bomber jacket, kisses a condom, sticks it in his pocket, and heads on over because he is confident as fuck that he is going to bang Denise Richards that night.
Now, this is what's very unclear. They're friends in the movie, okay? They're not involved. she whips out with a yellow rose from her bag, and she's like, I can't accept this. Out of the blue, because you get from the beginning of the movie, this happens maybe like 20 seconds into the movie, where she like rejects the rose. It's like the fucking Bachelor up in here. And she rejects this flower. You're like, wait a second. I thought that he was like the football guy coming over to watch his girlfriend do her like routine dance, cheerleading dance. And he was like there to like support and root her on. And then she's all giggly. They're laughing at nothing for like the first 20 minutes of the film, where anytime they're together, they're just laughing maniacally together. And I don't know what's going on. They're like
a couple.
Yeah, you think they're a couple, and they're not. They're apparently not a couple. But then, like Shad said, then she invites him over to her house where he has to climb the trellis to get into. Very, he has to get into because the parents are downstairs. And while this is happening, the two gang girls, who are those girls in the movie that get hot by people getting beat up, they're like roaring it on and, you know, they're getting sexually aroused by the whole thing. It's very strange.
And, funny story, one of them is played by the actor Siobhan Durkin, who played in Leprechaun 2 that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, who got gold played.
Yep.
Yep, she got the gold play.
She doesn't fare well in this one either.
No, there's a lot of dancing. You will see clips of that on the Instagram. There's a lot of dancing from her.
Yep.
Later on in the film. But yeah, so Paul Walker ends up in, you know, Denise Richards' room, and she's ready to get it on. She's like, then they're like spouting I love you to each other. It's like, what? You, like, just early, well, literally look, 30 minutes ago, you're like, we're just friends. I can't accept this rose. But now you're like, slip your penis inside my vagina. What is going on?
Of course, when she says to him, like, you know, they're getting ready to, you know, it's obvious what's going to happen. And she's like, I love you. He's not going to be like, yeah, I'd like to keep this kind of casual where we just bang and we're not really. He's not going to say that at that point. He's going to be like, yeah, I love you too.
That's fine. I don't care what he says. She shouldn't be saying I love you to the guy that she just said she can't accept a rose. But now she's going to give him her flower, her main flower. What kind of shit is this?
Come on, Denise Richards was not a virgin. That happened a long time ago.
Okay.
But I love, so the bullies show up after the two gang girls see him going into the house. They call all the other bullies. The bullies show up, and I love how in these movies, like these 80s and 90s movies, the high school bullies always looked like they were 30 to 35, and they ran in like this weirdly diverse gang that was always like part girls, part guys. There'd be like an Asian guy and a black guy in the gang, and you're like, I don't think gangs really divide like that, do they?
Maybe it's a zip code thing.
But they grab him, beat the shit out of him, and then take him to the big cat rescue.
We don't know what it is. We thought it was a park, but then there's a lion roaming around. There's a panther. There's a fucking leopard.
There's all these big cats just roaming around. And they, you know, then you know, like the game warden sees Paul Walker. And I don't know who this poor guy was, but some guy got mauled by a lion in this movie.
For real.
That lion was biting on his arm. Now, I know he might have had pads and everything, but that lion was fucking that guy up. It was shaking him like a rag doll.
Especially in the neck area. Jump to the next scene. Paul Walker's in the fucking hospital in a coma, quote unquote. Face, neck, totally intact. He has like one scratch on his forehead.
And he had some blood on his lips.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he just got mauled by a lion. Because they show this mauled scene for like a while. And you're thinking, oh man, he's going to be all fucked up, which is why he's going to have to undergo this like weird, crazy surgery. Because I didn't really do any research on this film. Like, I knew there was a T-Rex, and I knew there was a girl named Tammy, but that's all I fucking knew.
Yeah, so he, just out of nowhere, evil Dr. Bernie, as I'll call him, because I forgot his name in the movie. He shows up with his nurse, who's wearing like a lab coat, but then she's got on like a bra with no front on it, so her boobs are just sticking out of it.
It's like a dominatrix, like, fucking outfit. I don't know how to explain this outfit.
They just go in, and they're like, oh, we'll take care of him. Oh, he's dead. We'll just have to take the corpse now and deal with it. Denise Richards. Oh, and we forgot to mention they have the stereotypical gay best friend for Denise Richards.
Oh, I wrote something down about that. Let me see what I wrote down, because I...
He wears the craziest outfits ever. They, like, picked this stuff and said, pick shit that no one would ever wear in real life. Find me a priest outfit that's in red crushed velvet with a fez. They're like, yes, that's how he dresses. So that's how I think this director assumes. And true to all the 90s movies, there's a lot of very, you know...
flamboyant friends.
Yeah, flamboyant friends. And you got the cops that make all these very... homophobic comments of stuff like, whoa, he's here, don't bend over if you drop anything.
Yeah, that was a comment. And the guy actually is the son of one of the cops.
Yeah, he's son of the police chief.
Yeah, so the line, so once this is all happening on Paul Walker, Q-in, gay best friend, so, it starts just being over dramatic and it's just freaking the fuck out. And Denise Richards says, don't do this now, which is like, stop acting like the most over dramatic gay man in the world. Stop it.
So she just calls him right out in the script right there.
Yeah, she sure does. Cause he's just all, he's like falling down, fainting, like, oh Lord, like going all crazy. And then, yeah, and you always have to have that guy. There's always that guy in the movie, in these movies, where he's like, you know, the one with the fashion sense. Clueless had that guy. You're going to find him. So he gets taken, Paul Walker, out of here until, like, the facility where they're going to do this transfer. Because it's not really stated why this is happening. Who the fuck came out with an idea that's like, you know what? Let's put a human brain in this animatronic dinosaur.
Yeah, I thought it was going to... I didn't realize it was going to be an animatronic dinosaur. I thought it was going to be a real dinosaur. Like, hey, this is right after Jurassic Park. So I thought they were going to pull some, like, clone dinosaur shit, you know?
No, they don't pull any clone dinosaur shit. And then the part that gets me is, like, they're fucking performing surgery on fucking Paul Walker. And he keeps waking up. And they keep knocking him out, like, not with drugs. They keep, the woman keeps, like, punching him in the face and knocking him out. And then they're like, hey, you know what? Now it's time to saw his fucking head open. He has no drugs, like, yeah,
they
to
just gave put him, on like, earth. They gave him the Three Stooges anesthesia, where they just whacked him on the head with a mallet and said, let's hope we don't wake up.
And it's terrible. And it's obviously a dummy. You can't even...
If you've seen the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode where Homer gets kidnapped by Mr. Burns, they're going to scoop his brain out and put it in the giant robot, and he just saws the head off in a perfect bowl and then just scoops the brain out with an ice cream scoop, that's pretty much what they do here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of dummies in the film. There's dummies galore all over the place. And I'm not talking about just the gang. Ew!
Yeah.
That was a really terrible joke.
So they slap his brain in there, and he's in the T-Rex, moving it around, and that's when you get Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite shows up with the pizza, and he just bites the head clean off of John Franklin, Isaac. He just bites his head clean off.
He deserved it, though.
Yeah, he had it coming, but I'm saying, he just bites his head clean off. He didn't waste any time going straight to murder when he got to be a T-Rex.
No, he's like, I'm a T-Rex, and I'm just gonna start fucking calling bitches, and I'm also gonna be calling bitches long distance, because he does use the payphone. He uses the payphone to call Denise Richards, and it is fucking hilarious.
He's got his little T-Rex. What my favorite part of it was, when he called and didn't get a hold of her, he then checked the coin return to see if there was any coins in there. What the fuck's he gonna do with the change? He gonna put it in his T-Rex wallet?
He's gonna put it in one of his scales.
I don't know, but I'm like, what the fuck, man?
He was really concerned about that quarter. And I love how the arm length of the T-Rex just varies throughout the whole film whenever it's convenient.
Yeah, the T-Rex is standing straight in front of the phone and the arm comes from underneath camera and reaches up and checks things. So his arm had to be like a fucking tentacle that was dragging the ground and then reached up and grabbed a hold of the coin return. So it was very fucking weird.
Yeah, there is a lot of... I mean, the whole film has obviously low budget effects. They're very, you know, the practical effects, they're fine. It's like the film reads more like, you know what? What you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm bored. You want to make a movie about a T-Rex? Okay. And then they got people together and there you go. You got a T-Rex movie. That's literally the film. We just surmised the whole movie right there. There's a lot of kills in the film. They go, you know, the scene where he shows up at the party reminds me in Nightmare on Elm Street 2 when Freddy shows up at the party.
Yes, and he's murdering everyone.
Yeah, he's murdering everybody and fucking everything up. That happens in this film, but with a T-Rex. So, you know, that occurs. And then...
Oh, no. My favorite part, where he picks up the gay best friend who's fallen over. He reaches down with his little T-Rex arms, which couldn't possibly stretch that far. Picks him up, sets him on his feet very gently, and brushes the dirt off his clothes with these little tiny T-Rex arms. And the guy's just like, thank you, murderous T-Rex.
Well, my favorite part is when he finally gets a hold of Tammy... And he kidnaps her, you know, kind of like King Kong style. And he takes her back somewhere. And then Tammy proceeds to play charades with the fucking dinosaur.
Well, yeah, how's she going to communicate with him?
I don't know, but the charades thing was hilarious. And in that, he tells her that, you know, Paul Walker's brain is in the dinosaur body. She immediately accepts it because he does something that he did earlier in the film. And she's like, yeah, this is a thing. This is happening. I accept this. And, you know, from that point on, all I'm thinking is, God, I hope Denise Richards has sex with this T-Rex because this is going to make this movie even 5,000 times better than it actually is.
Speaking of that, we neglected one of the kills at the party that was my particular favorite. Is where the boyfriend that caused all this that threw him out in the big cat preserve is having sex with our friend from Leprechaun 2. She's legs in the air in the back seat of a convertible when the T-Rex just comes up, grabs a hold of one of her legs, lifts it up, just rips her leg clean off, throws her away, and then proceeds to murder the shit out of the boyfriend. I love the point where they show the body that's so flat they just roll it up like a fucking fruit roll-up and then just toss it inside the building.
Yeah, or the part where it's an obvious mass that they just filled up with blood because he
threw down on the ground
because he gets some. Well, almost everybody gets decapitated by the T-Rex, but the boyfriend gets decapitated by the T-Rex, and then that happens. So it's like, okay, I see.
Literally, it was just a mask full of blood that they dropped on the ground that splats out. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
Oh, this film was fantastical. I love this movie. I wish I would have seen it in the 90s because then I could have had this whole time with like fond memories and probably thought this was like the greatest thing since fucking Apple Pie. Remember,
they did release it in the 90s, but it didn't have the gore. They cut all the gore out of it so it could get a PG-13 rating.
Okay, then yeah, that would have not been good.
That's why they finally found all this footage a few years ago, and they finally restored it and put it back in. That Vinegar Syndrome released it.
Thanks, Vinegar Syndrome, for another classic.
But my favorite part of it was the part where the T-Rex attends the funeral for Paul Walker's body. And as he's listening to them eulogize him, he gets a tear in his eye, and the tear runs down his eye. he's sniffling. Crying. He's got the sniffles. His nose, like you see the nose holes are like... You know, puffing out, and he's like got a tear running down his face. That was my favorite part.
When the T-Rex is crying, that's your favorite part.
he's crying like the Indian in the old commercials where he's standing, the single tear runs down his face, looking at the litter.
Who happens to be not crying. An Indian?
Yeah, well, we don't have anything to spoil anybody's life now.
So, my favorite part of the film, my other favorite part of the film, is the end. Not because it's the end of the film, because then you have Denise Richards, who has decided that, you know, we're going to keep the boyfriend brain exposed. It's not even in, like, a fancy laboratory thing.
There's not even a lid on it. It's just out there where fucking flies can get on it and everything.
She's pouring alcohol all over it so he could get drunk, which reminds me of that movie with Steve Martin, The Man with Two Brains.
Yeah.
And so they have a Man of Two Brains moment, and she has like hooked up. She has him hooked up to like a camcorder, so he can talk to her.
A very 90s camcorder. It's huge.
And then she disappears for a second because she has to change into her outfit. She comes back and she's wearing like sexy like bridal lingerie with a fucking white feather boa and proceeds to dance for him. It is the best part of the movie.
And she gets him so horny, his brain kind of short circuits. There's like sparks coming out of it and a little bit of smoke and everything because Denise Richards just has that effect on brains.
She sure does. And I cannot blame the brain. I'm just like, okay, this is happening right now. And they're on, you know, they got to find a body for this brain. They got to, I don't know how, this is the part, like, the person that could actually do the surgery is no longer, is gone. So how is Denise Richards, oh shit, and James Bond, wasn't this bitch a fucking doctor? Boom, she went on to be a doctor scientist. And that's how she became Dr. Scientist, because she needed to find a body for this brain.
What was her name? Christmas.
Fucking Christmas.
She was Christmas in that movie, because that was the one where James Bond said, well, Christmas is going to come twice this year.
Wow. The fact that you actually remember that is astonishing. And very.
All the terrible James Bond lines are, like, I those are so amazing. The one where he's talking to Moneypenny in the more recent ones, and says he's going to go see the therapist, and she goes, oh, you always were a cunning linguist, 007.
Okay. Not enough 007. I give Tammy and the T-Rex 3 knives.
Yeah, I'll give it 3 knives, too. Not because it's good, but because it's fun. It's so dumb to watch that it's just like, you thought Mac and Me was like as low as you could go, but no. It turns out there's lower. There's a whole hollow earth underneath Mac and Me filled with Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah, it's such a fun film. It's so crazy and out there. And it's definitely, it's a fun, I mean, you've been at home for so long. You just put this movie on and you're just going to get some kind of reaction from it. Whether it's a, what the fuck am I watching, to let me get drunk and watch this, or this is the most amazing, terrible thing I've ever seen in my life.
And to her credit, Denise Richards never acts like this is bullshit. She takes it as seriously as anything else.
She is a doe-eyed lady who's all about it. She's just big eyes, big boobs, big personality. She's taking it all. And I say that with the highest of respect. We love you. Or I should say, I love you, Denise Richards. I love you. And this movie just definitely, it's right under Wild Things for me. Wild Things is a fantastic movie. But this movie was just such a fun movie to watch. And definitely all the kills is what makes it kind of horror-esque. Cause,
yeah. You have some pretty good gore. And I see why they had to cut that to get a PG-13. You were going to get that, especially in the 90s with this kind of shit.
I want to see what the PG-13 movie would have been like. Because I can't even imagine it. Because even the parts that don't have any of the gore was still kind of, I want to say racy, but their scenes are like, a kid should not be watching this. 15 plus.
Yep.
I would say 15 plus.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Well, guys, thank you for taking this strange trip of Tammy and the T-Rex. Stay safe, stay clean, and also stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.